It's on a with a long handle that's used to pick up rocks in his hand. We can see him in the television picture. There comes Al. Nope, that's the equipment clothesline. That thing drops right into the picture, right down the line of the ladder, and it almost looks as though somebody might be on the ladder. Pete moves it as he's working at the edge of the Mesa table. We can see Pete Conrad in color.
Did I get dirt all over myself?
He says he's got to be careful. He'll get dirt all over himself. He's working. He's putting the contingency sample in a bag. He had it in a pocket on his spacesuit. He's now putting it in a bag, and then he will put it in one of the rock boxes. This is what is known as dirt, dirt. That very likely is Al Bean's antenna scraping some metal around inside the lunar module.
Let me know when you start heading back out there to do the EGP, Pete. I'll get a good shot at you, Pete. Getting ready to do it just a second, Al. As soon as I get the bag, I got the contingency sample in the bag. Okay?
He's got the contingency sample in the bag. Yes, Don, that's pretty scratchy there.
An interesting note about this dirt, dirt. In the Lunar Receiving Laboratory, when we grew some plant cultures in a soil that was enriched by the lunar soil, we found that some of the plants, in fact, grew much better in the lunar dirt, dirt than they did in the normal dirt.
There's a great discussion on what caused that, and the scientists haven't really decided yet.
That's right. It hasn't been discovered. What's caused that?
I'm getting a good bit of static, and I noticed in the Apollo 11 flight that this is caused when the antennas on top of the backpack scrape around inside the limb. So this possibly is what's happening now. It pretty well destroys the communications legibility.
Well, Al is probably bending over now inside the limb, recovering the lunar equipment conveyor, helping Pete transfer the bag up, and he's probably bumping his antenna.
The antenna sticks up on top of the backpack for about a little less than half a meter. And if he leans over, it certainly would bump into parts of the spacecraft. He is pulling on the equipment conveyor. Pete says, wait. The television camera is still mounted on the mesa in a rigid position. And so we don't see Conrad. He's out in front of the spacecraft, out of view, laughing again. There's a very distinctive Conrad laugh. Here goes a bag. This must be the contingency sample going back up into the spacecraft so that if anything happens and they have to call the EVA short, they will have this sample inside.
He also will have several rechargeable pieces for the plisses. This is not necessary on Apollo 11 since there was only one EVA, but in this particular mission now with two EVAs, he is transferring up some batteries for the plisses for the second EVA.
That were stored down in the mesa.
They were stored in the mesa this time. This was something that we didn't do on Apollo 11. The only thing that we transferred were the cameras the first time.
We can see this bag of equipment going up. Pete is standing out in front of the limb, some 5 to 8 meters away. And Al is inside pulling on the other end of this clothesline pulley device, this equipment conveyor. Pete says, am I getting dirty?
I picked up right back out through you the flash. Okay, let me see. While you're doing that, what was I supposed to do? Oh, I know. Possible TV deploy.
He looks down on his sleeve. Yeah. He's got a checklist on the sleeve of his suit. Possible TV deploy. He says, that's what I'm supposed to do now.
In some circles, it's known as a crib sheet.
Trying to learn to move faster. Good.
The confidence and relaxed air of these men is just astounding. He's asking how long they've been out.
Pete, you're 34 minutes into the EVA, and you're right on the nominal timeline.
Right on the timeline, 34 minutes, and according to the crib sheet, he's supposed to rest and check his EMU. You're listening to the Voice of America, broadcasting worldwide, The Exploration of the Moon by the Men of Apollo 12. The communication circuit has become a bit noisy there. You want to comment on anything you've seen while this is out?
Well, I think that you've made perhaps the most interesting comment, Brett, about the apparent relaxation of both Conrad and Bean, the confidence they seem to have that everything is going well and that they have the situation under control.
And after that small anomaly there with the water sublimator, and Al certainly figured out exactly what was happening. He knew the instrument perfectly, and when he discovered that the hatch was closed and interfering with the vacuum, and remedied the situation, it solved the whole thing. That is bound to give him more confidence in his equipment. Ah, Pete is moving the TV camera off the mesa now.
Okay, ready for you, Pete.
All right.
Well,
it's upside down.
I got to stop what I'm doing. Let me come over here and get it. Here I come. Okay?
All right. Let's see. How long is it now until Al Bean comes down? Let's make one quick check of that. And then... Al Bean will be coming down in about 3 minutes. He will be coming out in about 3 minutes if they adhere to the present timeline. Let's go back briefly to Washington.
The Voice of America bringing you continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. At the moment, the commander of the flight, Pete Conrad, into his spacewalk by about 32 minutes. We'll return to a description of that spacewalk following this brief summary of late news.
Apollo 12 commander Charles Conrad has climbed from the lunar module Intrepid and stepped onto the surface of the moon, the third human being to leave a footprint in the lunar dust. He will be followed by astronaut Alan Bean. Together, they plan to spend about 3 hours outside the Intrepid. Earlier, the space flyers guided their lunar lander Intrepid to a flawless on-target landing on the moon's ocean of storms shortly before 7 hours GMT. Astronaut Richard Gordon, orbiting overhead in the command ship Yankee Clipper, reported sighting the Intrepid sitting near the edge of the so-called Surveyor Crater. That would place the lunar module less than 200 meters from the Surveyor 3 spacecraft, which soft-landed on the moon almost 3 years ago. First calculations placed the Intrepid some 350 meters from the Surveyor. During today's moonwalk, the astronauts plan to take pictures, erect a United States flag, set up scientific instruments, and gather moon rocks. It all will be televised back to Earth in color. The moon explorers will spend 32 hours on the lunar surface. Secretary of State William Rogers says the Nixon administration plans new moves in an effort to improve relations with Communist China. Appearing on a special television program, Mr. Rogers said the United States, among other things, wants to resume direct talks with Peking at the ambassadorial level. Such talks were held between 1955 and 1968 in Warsaw, but none has been held in almost 2 years. Secretary Rogers reaffirmed the United States' attitude of neutrality regarding the border disputes between the Soviet Union and Communist China. He expressed hope that the talks now underway between the two communist powers will lead to reduced tensions in the area. United States and Soviet representatives will meet for the second time tomorrow as preliminary talks continue on strategic arms limitations. The two sides met Tuesday at the U.S. Embassy in Helsinki. Tomorrow's meeting will be at the Soviet Embassy. Secretary of State William Rogers says diplomatic contacts have been made with North Vietnam since the death of Ho Chi Minh in September. But he added, it would be wrong to suggest that they have indicated any progress. The secretary gave that assessment after talking privately with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. The committee chairman, Senator William Fulbright, said the stumbling block to a Vietnam settlement is creation of a government under which a free election could be held.
The Voice of America, continuing with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Let's go to the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston and correspondent Rhett Turner.
Al Bean has now moved out the front hatch of the spacecraft. Pete Conrad has moved the television camera to another position slightly, and it's upside down, the picture we're getting here. Pete's out somewhere else.
Al, Houston, the limb is looking good. Your go for egress. Pete, you're at 40 minutes into the timeline, and you're about 4 minutes ahead.
They were both talking at the same time there. Pete laughed and said, oh, dear.
Here I come. Wait. You ready now? No. Let me come. Gotta run through this crater. Here I come.
Pete says, I've got to run
now,
through this
wait
crater.
A minute, Lem,
he's
going to... Five, six.
He's looking at his checklist.
Made a shambles of that color chart. I tried to throw it in the ground, and actually it went in sideways, and it's got itself so covered with dirt, you wouldn't know what color it was.
There's a color synchronizing chart there.
Okay, I'm ready for you. Okay, you might want
Pete's,
to give me some directions.
Pete's going to take pictures as
yeah.
Al backs out of the out of the hatch. He's in the hatch.
Okay, you're coming straight out, and the further you bend over, the better.
The further you can bend
right,
over, the
move
better.
To your right. Okay. Atta boy. Now.
If you're watching TV anywhere in the world and listening to us, you would like to inform me that the picture is upside down.
Okay.
The color television camera still attached to part of the modular equipment assembly. Al's backing out of the hatch. 42 minutes after the beginning of this EVA, this extravehicular activity.
And if I'd have landed 20 feet behind where I landed, we'd have landed right smack in that crater.
Pete says if he landed 20 feet behind where he landed, he would have landed smack in that crater.
Oh, it's kind of hard to move the door. I was just getting in and trying to get it. There you go.
Al is supposed to...
The door opens for us there.
He's supposed to pull the door partially shut, the hatch, to the lunar module. He apparently is out on the front porch now, just out of sight.
Pretty good. I better get my visor down, though. Yes, sir. Why, that sun is bright.
He needs to pull down this gold visor, which filters out the real bright sunlight, and also the dangerous rays from the sun, which could hurt their eyes and possibly burn their face.
Houston, let me ask you a question. How important is that color chart? I tried to spike it in the ground, you know, so it was perpendicular to the sun, and it just didn't do that, and it's all covered with dirt.
There's a big slit.
I'd go back and re-salvage it if you want to take the time.
Press on with what you're doing there, Pete, and we'll get an answer back to you.
There's Al coming down onto the footpad.
Pete, press on. No problem.
Al is standing on the footpad, facing the camera, about
Atta
to step
boy.
Off.
You look great. Welcome aboard.
He has stepped off onto the lunar surface.
Wait a minute. Chart I didn't get. The boy color chart on undisturbed surface didn't make it. Contingency sample area I got. How much egress I got? I'm off for the SBN antennae. Okay.
Al has stepped off onto the surface of the moon now.
You really do begin to adapt. If you turn around and walk over to your right a little bit, look over in that crater, you're going to see our pal sitting there. That's one steep slope it's on.
Pete.
Okay, now what have you got all over your boot? Stop. picked up a piece of landing gear. Displacement.
Okay. There we go.
Attaboy.
Al picked up some.
Okay, I'm going
after
him. You gotta watch these shadows.
Yep.
You can't see what you're doing. Come over here where I am.
See that surveyor sitting there?
There that thing is. Look just now. You look how close we almost landed that creek.
They're both looking at the surveyor now.
Look at the descent engine. It didn't even dig a hole.
The descent engine didn't dig a hole.
See, Houston.
It blew all the dust out.
Houston, I'll need the process.
Go ahead, Houston. Hey, Pete, would you give us a status on the LEM and also some comments on your boot penetration?
My comments are exactly the same as Neil and Buzz. Every time I get near one of these little craters, I sink in a lot further. I say our footsteps are sinking in.
What do you want to do with it?
Put it over by the flying gear. I think I'll cover that rock box with it later.
Remember last minute change.
And, where was I? Any more comments about the truck? Well, I think it's pretty much the same as Neil and Buzz.
One of the transmitters on the portable life support system is creating some noise now, so it's interfering with the clarity of the communication.
Very cohesive. So when you, every boot print, as you look at it, looks almost like it's a piece of rubber itself. It's so well defined that you can't see any grains in it or anything.
Al Bean says every boot print looks like a piece of rubber itself, the way it impresses into the moon. We're looking at the Earth now.
Look at the S-band antenna and look up that way. It's right up there.
That's the back of
the room. Okay, now, where did we all agree was the best place to deploy this S-band out the wide gear, huh?
Yeah, a little bit further out.
That out in here's a good spot. Hey, I don't want to get too far away from the cable. What's the matter with it right here? That's a good place.
Okay.
0.2 Earth.
That's what it says.
Al is adjusting to the surface.
I'm glad you didn't land back about 50 feet. That's what I'm saying, buddy.
Adjusting the, we're about to remove the S-band antenna.
Glass in these rocks. Yeah, I reported that. You can also see some pure glass if you look around.
Al is now commenting on what he sees, the types
you
of...
You can jump up in the air. Hustle, boy, hustle. We got a lot of work to do. I've got to do my cam for 5 minutes here. Now, cam doing some useful work like in that TV camera going. Okay, good idea. Really got to be careful when you go out of the light into the dark.
Yep.
I'm getting a little crosstalk into the signal from some other source there. If you could hear music, it wasn't coming from the mirror.
This second thing won't come out. Hey, give me a hand here. Yes, sir.
There's a hand coming into the picture.
That damn thing won't deploy. Well, you want me to pull a hole? A bit? Yeah, a bit. Pull. Pull away from me. Okay.
I'm trying to get the S-band antenna.
No, I don't think it's going to let go. Let go. Try a different... I got it. Never mind. That's not right, is it? Doesn't that thing have two sections to it? No, never mind. Forget it. Let's go. Say, Houston, does the inner band... It's just one piece, huh?
Question to Houston from Pete Conrad.
Copy the question. You want to know if the inner mast is one or two sections?
I want to know if the inner mast is one or two sections.
Yeah, it seems to me I'm getting dumped up, maybe. It looks shorter than it used to look in practice.
Pete, that inner mast should be two sections.
More than one section. I think so. You have to pull out the outside or the inside.
Al and Pete trying to get the mast for the S-band antenna.
Over here by the front porch. Okay.
We can see one of the lead wires. TV's almost off the mast.
It's significantly easier just to do anything here. Like this arm motion is so simple because you're not fighting the rest of your weight like we are there at 1G.
Al's surprised to find how simple it is to move around and work. That should be a TV cable.
That leg couldn't want to. Grab that leg.
Yeah,
where's the Conrad laugh again?
In a minute. Lock in her mast, extended lock legs. We've got a line to move thermal cover. Okay?
That's Al.
Big one, thermal cover.
Reading instructions on how to remove stuff from the mesa. There's a big suited hand coming into view. Picking up the TV camera, taking it off the mesa, moving it around.
It's real nice moving around up here. You don't seem to get tired.
It's going to take it out and put it on a tripod. Then we should see everything that's going on much better.
Where is Earth? Here's the TV. And? Pointed towards the sun, that's bare.
It's pointed toward the sun briefly there. Conrad going about his duties and dunk 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 while he works.
The deployment of the S-band antenna is something that we didn't do on Apollo 11 also. And this, once it's up, will allow us to receive the signals from the moon on the 85-foot dishes that we have spread around the network, the manned spaceflight network, rather than the 210-foot dishes that we were using during the Apollo 11 mission. Make the signal perhaps even better than we were able to see it thus far.
I'm certainly hoping that it will clean up some of the noise we're hearing.
May very well
do
that.
Either move it or stop it down.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop it down.
Got a hunch they may have burned part of the TV camera from the looks of one of the images coming, part of the image coming back to us. I think it was pointed toward the sun briefly.
No, it still is the same, Al. Why don't you try shifting the scene?
Okay, I'm going. The problem is, Lim is very reflective. Let me, I got two choices. Let me go over here further to the side, and you check and see if it reflects too much, and if it does, I'll have to go stick it in the shade. And then maybe shine past the limb. Of course, that makes it not too good either, but maybe the best we can do.
Okay, Al, and also you might try the automatic light control to the outside.
Some instructions from the Earth to Al Bean, who is working with the TV camera, attempting to set it up properly. They're right on the timeline of setting up the equipment.
How does that look, Houston?
Still looks the same, Al. We have a very bright image at the top and blacked out at the buffer, 80% of the bottom.
Man, oh man, did that thing deploy?
Pete has popped open the S-band antenna. Goes open
it
like an umbrella.
Back so the back is to the sun, and maybe that'll help. Maybe that's the way we're going to have to do it.
Okay, Al, go ahead.
Okay, once we learn a trick, I think we can do it each time. That may do it.
Pete's working with
that
the S-band antenna.
Right there, Houston.
Al's working with the camera.
Al, we haven't seen any change at all. Why don't you go ahead and take and put your glove in front of the lens, but not over it, to see whether we can get any change at all.
What do you see now?
Still the same, Al. We've got a very bright part, about 20% of the top, and black on the bottom.
Yeah. Got any
suggestions? Stand by, Al.
Pointing it in a non-bright area. Let me point it. Got pointed away from the sun here. Maybe ground trouble. Hope it is.
The TV camera is not working properly at all.
All the connections look good.
Very bright streak across the top, possibly where it was pointed toward the sun, may have injured it. We hope not. We're going to.
Al, why don't you take a good close look at that lens and make sure it's in the right configuration?
Okay. I've got it on focus at infinity.
50, I'll put in 75, and I got the f-stop at 22.
Al is reading off the
Roger, Al, we copy.
Configuration of the camera.
I got it pointing exactly opposite of the sun here, so,
Very odd shape.
Well, we see no change at all in the scene. Why don't you just give it a little tap, and maybe the color wheel has hung up.
They think possibly part of the mechanical device in the camera is hung up. There is a color wheel that spins in this camera. A motor drives it. So for the moment, we have essentially lost the television picture. The camera is not working properly since they picked it up from the mesa.
You heard of my first antenna. It's this S-band antenna, will it?
Pete Conrad is asking it if it will hurt his VHF antenna if it bumps into the S-band antenna while he's erecting it.
No problem.
No problem, comes the answer from Earth.
Okay.
Considerable noise coming out of those portable life support system transmitters.
It could be that his PLSS antenna is bumping on the S-band right now while he's trying to aim it back towards the Earth because it's very tight.
Roger, I'll try and point it off where you don't get any reflectance into it, and we'll be thinking about it here on the ground.
The camera is not working at all.
Okay.
A bad light
splotch. Right into the back of the TV. It's part of a white plastic material, and it looks like it's
both astronauts are now working with the S-band antenna, the high-gained portable antenna that pops open like an umbrella.
And the sun are right lined up. You have to look right into the sun and look up in the sky and watch you're on a TV antenna. I mean, cable.
The television camera is not working at all.
It's over now, right? Uh-huh. Oh, there it is. I got you now. But looking at him. Yeah. I tell you where you need to go, Pete. Need to... Okay, that's good. Now you need to point. You need to rotate the whole thing counterclockwise. Good, you're getting there. Getting there. The old Earth is hanging up there. Amazing. How much further? Oh, I'd say another 3 or 4 degrees, maybe. Stop. No more. Okay, now, wait. That looks just good as far as angles. Now, up and down, I can move it a little closer.
They're trying to sight this portable antenna toward the Earth. While the astronauts are working with the S-band antenna, the mission control and the support rooms are trying to come up with some solution to the problems with the television camera. You're listening to this broadcast through the Voice of America, bringing you around the world live from the moon, the voices of astronauts Al Bean and Pete Conrad as the third and fourth men on the moon explore.
Just like that. Okay, can you look right down the man? Yeah, it looks like he climbed up to me. It's
just have to move in and try. Because you're awfully close.
How about it?
How is it? The hour's in the azimuth, and I'll look for it. Come a little bit more clockwise. You're right on, Big. Stop.
The astronauts.
Down and pitch, and you're bound to get it.
Take some time to get that antenna erected properly.
Hold it. Take your hands off it. I can't. It'll fall over.
No,
leave it
alone.
You're pulling on it here.
Oh, leave it alone.
Okay, I've got my hands off it. It's standing there. Be delicate, because this pulls on it, see?
Yeah.
Got it?
They're pretty close to the timeline. They have had some problem getting the tripod implanted properly.
Looks good. Just be careful you don't move in any closer because the right side of your cliff is above it. I'll put out the solar wind collector.
Al is now bringing out the solar wind collector. That's this window shade device. Window shade device that will collect particles from the sun while it's mounted.
Okay. First, I ask you in the S-band and antenna site.
Pete Conrad saying,
next?
Earth, I have for you here the S-band antenna site. Now what's next?
Okay.
Al, when you finish up the solar wind, would you give one more last try on that camera? Try opening up the f-stop all the way and exercising the
I
zoom.
I sure will.
Al's been given an instruction to try one more effort at getting the camera
away
restored.
From cable. You're right.
With you?
I certainly do. Okay, just hang on to it.
The television camera is not working.
Houston, how long we've been out?
Pete asked how long.
You've been out 1 hour and 2 minutes, and you're both running about 2 minutes off nominal. Behind.
About 2 minutes behind schedule. Sounds almost as though some other sort of signal is keying on their transmissions from the moon. There's a slight whistle, a slight tone that we can hear there, as this almost coincident with the static. Al Bean was given an instruction that when he finishes mounting the solar wind collector, go back to the television camera and exercise the zoom properties of the camera, open up the stops all the way and back to see if something has stopped up the mechanism. No comment from the spacemen. They are going about their work at this moment, not transmitting any communication to us. Just getting some staticky noise back while they go about their work. The Earth, of course, does get some telemetry data on each man. They can monitor the heart rates and also the condition of the portable life support system while they are not talking to us directly. Let's go back to Washington. Long Darren.
You're listening to the continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 12, the astronauts now in their first EVA period. But now to the VOA newsroom and a summary of news.
Astronauts Charles Conrad and Alan Bean are on the surface of the moon, the third and fourth explorers from Earth to visit that celestial body. Millions of people here in the United States watched on television as astronaut Conrad stepped onto the moon's surface first. Astronaut Conrad said he could see the nearby surveyor craft sent to the moon some 3 years ago, and he said the brilliant sunshine appeared like a bright spotlight. Afterward, astronaut Bean came down the landing craft ladder and onto the surface to join his colleague. Astronaut Conrad said he felt comfortable on the moon's surface. "I feel great," he said. The gravity pull on the moon is only 1/6 that of Earth. The two flyers have a total of 3.5 hours to spend on the surface this time to set up a series of scientific experiments, but they will be outside later today again for another 3.5 hours. In Helsinki, the American-Soviet bilateral strategic arms limitation talks are in recess until Thursday, while the two delegations consult with their home governments. The first working session Tuesday was at the American Embassy, and tomorrow Gerard Smith leads the American delegation to the Soviet Embassy. Japanese Premier Eisaku Sato and President Nixon meet at the White House today for discussions of mutual problems, such as trade and the return of the Ryukyu Islands to Japanese control. Okinawa, largest of the Ryukyu Islands, is the site of American military bases of strategic importance to the security of Southeast Asia, as well as the United States. Secretary of State William Rogers told newsmen that diplomatic contacts have been made with North Vietnam since the death of Ho Chi Minh. He said it would be wrong to suggest they indicated any progress toward a Vietnam settlement. The trial of Michael Rohan on charges of burning the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem went into the final stages. The Egyptian National Assembly blamed America for the Middle East crisis. Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Dayan said Arab guerrillas in Lebanon threaten Israeli sovereignty and dignity. An estimated 12 to 15 million Italians from Sicily to the Alps are on a 24-hour general strike. The Dow Jones average closed 2.64 higher, despite 3 straight days of price declines on the New York and American stock exchanges. And the Census Bureau reports there were 202,540,000 Americans on October 1st. That's a 2 million population increase in 1 year. That's a summary of the news from the Voice of America, Warren Shear reporting.
You're listening to the Voice of America's continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. The lunar module, now having been on the lunar surface some 5 hours and 44 minutes, astronauts Conrad and Bean, now an hour, 5 minutes into their first EVA period on the lunar surface. A few hours after the landing on the moon, NASA officials met with newsmen to answer questions on the mission thus far. A spokesman had this comment on the touchdown of the Intrepid.
I think the highlights of the landing tonight or this morning are several. For one, the thing that we wanted to prove on this flight was that we could do what we call a pinpoint landing or target for a particular area on the surface of the moon. And in combination with the ground targeting plus the pilot capabilities to take over and fly the limb down at the end to land within walking distance of a selected target. Now, they're still massaging exact locations. We've got several. Jerry's been busily plotting. But I think probably when we finally pin it down, and that should be shortly, that we're probably within, I'd guess, 1,000 feet of where we targeted for. I think this is in due, in large measure, to an extremely good piece of detective work and engineering work in taking what we learned on Apollo 11, converting it into a few changes in the procedures for Apollo 12, doing a little better job on being able to propagate errors and this sort of thing, and of course, what I consider the superb performance of the flight crew themselves. I think all of our science people are very pleased with where we've landed. They feel that the potential for geology for the EVAs is very good. We had previously, before the flight, looked at 2 or 3 different traverse routes, depending on exactly where he set it down. And I think with the location that we're in, with the general area, that science applications will be very good. What this all means to us in terms of being able to land as close to where we wish to go is we can look downstream to some of the future flights and plan, at least right now, until we find something that changes our mind, that we can go into some of these future targets that we've talked about. We landed today with an adequate reserve of propellant. All that went very well.
A spokesman for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration commenting on the mission thus far. A few days ago in Houston, LM pilot Alan Bean described the basic experiments included in the ALSEP, that's the Apollo Lunar Surface Experiment Package, and how he and Charles Conrad will set them up on the moon's surface. Here is that conversation.
Al, there's greater emphasis in Apollo 12 on this scientific package, which you and Pete Conrad will deploy. Would you describe how you take it out from the limb, what it involves, and how you'll set it up?
Okay, as you know, the ALSEP, Apollo Lunar Surface Experiment Package, is a combination of four or five. I use that word because one of them is a smaller and attached to another experiment that we're going to leave on the moon forever. But it has a guaranteed lifetime of about a year. So it'll be sending back good scientific information for a year. We expect that it will operate then for another year just as well, even though it doesn't have to. And then after that, we probably won't be using it. But our job then is to put this package out on the surface where it will be best located to gain the information that it needs, that it is able to gather, and in a position where it won't be disturbed when we actually ascend from the lunar surface. You were asking earlier about where it might be put. The ALSEP, as you know, is stored in the sequence bay that's located on sort of the left rear of the limb. And on the last part of our first EVA, we're going to go around to that area, open some doors using a sort of a long cord. Doors will lift up and it'll expose two of the packages. Total weight is about 300 earth pounds or 150 pounds of package. And to use these on the moon and to provide for the ability to deploy them on unusual attitudes, or let's say there happens to be a crater right in that area, we got some booms that will pull the packages out of the hole and actually lower them to the ground. So Pete Conrad and I will go to the area, open the doors, pull out the booms, lower the packages to the ground, take the RTG, which is the radiothermal generator. We'll fuel it with a radioisotope fuel source.
This is the nuclear power supply we've heard
of. That's
about.
Right. It's a small capsule, about, well, not necessarily small, but it's about, I guess, 16 inches long and about 3 inches in diameter. It looks like a thick pencil in those dimensions. Of course, it's a thick tube. We've got a couple of tools that we dismount it from a cask that's on the side of the limb and put it in the RTG. Once it's in the RTG, then it starts creating heat there, just as it has been on the side of the limb, but it's been radiated away, of course, all this time during the flight to the moon, and starts manufacturing electricity or generating electricity.
Now, what's in the experiments package? There are four major experiments. Would you describe those?
Okay, well, combined on these two pallets, then, or two packages, are the four major experiments. The first one we're going to put out is a device called a seismometer, passive seismometer. And as you know, the seismometer is designed to, with some little accelerometers within it, so it can measure minute motions or impulses of the moon. We use them on Earth, of course, to measure earthquakes, or we use them on the Earth when we want to explore for oil or determine what the core of the Earth is like or some specific area is like. So that's the whole idea. Get one of these seismometers on the moon and get it in operating condition, and we'll be able to detect lunar quakes, if there are such a thing. We'll probably be able to detect landslides and craters if they're close by. We'll be able to detect meteoroid impact if they occur fairly close to the seismometer. In fact, one of the things we're going to do just before we leave the moon, after we get out of our ascent stage, we're going to cause it to impact the moon fairly close to our seismometer so that we can get some good ideas of what's going on in the interior of the moon from a large energy source that impacts a good distance from the seismometer. So that's the first experiment. I think it's one of the better ones.
And how about the other three?
The second one we put out is the magnetometer. The purpose of the magnetometer is to take a look at any magnetic field that is affecting the moon. Now, we know from Surveyor and Orbiter and some of the other measurements that the moon does not exhibit much of its own magnetic field. But we do know that the moon operates in many magnetic fields. For example, it's around the Earth, and when it passes behind the Earth in its magnetospheric tail, that we ought to see a lot of changes, a lot of effects on the moon from this Earth magnetic field. And so we're going to take a look at these phenomena. We're going to watch these for a year, and I think we're going to see some interesting happenings from both the moon and perhaps from the sun and some other phenomena that we mm-hmm. don't even know of about mm-hmm. right now. These are the ones that we can think of. When we finish putting out the magnetometer, our next job is to put out what we call the SIDE, or the superthermal ion detector. Its whole function is to take a look at the ions that are about the moon, charged particles, and determine what they are, how many there are, their mass, their general direction, and just some information about them. Also, we want to associate this with the sun's position and the Earth's position and many other things such as this. This is a relatively easy device to employ. We just put it on the surface, and after we leave it, ground command will kick off some covers and expose some tubes. They'll collect these ions. Now, kind of an adjunct to this superthermal ion detector is a cold cathode gauge, and it's part of that experiment, really. It could be called the fifth experiment. It pulls out from the side, lays on the ground, and using this cold cathode ion gauge, we're going to try to determine the atmosphere of the moon. And by atmosphere, I don't mean the amount of oxygen and nitrogen or whatever else that we have here, but what non-charged particles, what other particles besides these charged ones are in the vicinity of the moon. We'll be able to measure those. We'll be able to measure the charged particles with this. And in the last experiment, which I haven't discussed, which is the solar wind, and we'll be able to then hopefully determine the total density of little particles and come up with the environment.
How about that fourth experiment?
Fourth experiment, the solar wind. Now, this particular experiment looks like a little six-sided ball in a way. It's got sets on the surface. Once again, after we leave, the little covers are removed from some detectors, and these detectors are pointed in several different directions. And the whole purpose of the experiment is to measure the flow of charged particles that emanate from the sun, the solar wind, as it's called. Now, these charged particles, we know they exist. We measured them in space a number of times. In fact, on Apollo 11, you may remember that Buzz put up a solar wind collector, sort of like a window shade. We're going to put one of those up, too, where he collected the discrete particles that came from the sun, actually captured them in the foil, and we're going to do the same thing. But this is going to measure 28 different types and energies of matter coming from the sun, and from there we hope to not only see what the sun is putting out. We've been able to measure that pretty well with unmanned spacecraft, Pioneers, for example, orbiting the sun, but we'll be able to see how it interacts with the moon. As you well know, as the moon moves through solar space, if you will, there's a lot of effects that are pronounced on the surface depending on the direction of the sun or in the Earth relative to where the particular point is on the moon that you're studying. So we're going to see vast differences in solar wind collected at sunrise, sunset. Of course, in the middle of the night, you wouldn't expect to collect a lot of solar wind, but there's going to be some. And the object then is to document this and perhaps get a better understanding of what the environment is on the moon, what the changes have been made on the moon over the last 4 billion years or whatever else, and then perhaps be able to extrapolate some of that data to understand better what the changes were caused on Earth by the same phenomena. This is, of course, the whole idea of ALSEP. Get some instrumentation up there, measure what's going on, look at what the situation is now, try to look back in time and see what has happened over the years, just as we've done on Earth, and then take that information and realizing that the Earth is not exactly like the moon, but some of the principles apply, move them back and try to get some better ideas of what have happened to us in the past.
Now, you and Pete will try to take it out quite a distance from the lunar module, won't
you? We will. Originally, we were going to take it out 200 to 300 feet, but as a result of Apollo 11 and some of the evaluations that have been done since then, we've decided that we probably ought to take it out, or the scientists have, and engineers that think about these things, decided that we ought to take it out about 1,000 feet. That's a pretty fur piece when you're in a spacesuit. So I think we'll try to get it out there, and it depends on the terrain. If it's got a lot of hills and dales and we got other things, we might not get it out quite that far, but we're shooting for that neighborhood anyway.
Good luck. We'll be waiting to see the results in the couple of years to come, Al.
Thank you.
Lunar module pilot, Alan Bean describing the Apollo Lunar Surface Experiment package to Rhett Turner in Houston a few days ago.
The Voice of America on the air around the world, bringing you continuous coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. The lunar landing module, Intrepid, now on the surface of the moon. It's been there since 6 hours 54 Greenwich Mean Time, approximately 5 hours and 56 minutes. At the moment, Charles Pete Conrad, the commander, and Alan Bean are on the surface of the moon in their first EVA, their first moonwalk. Pete Conrad has been out for about an hour and 20 minutes. His colleague, Alan Bean, out for about 40 minutes. They're following their schedule of events during this first EVA. There was a problem about an hour after Pete Conrad came out of the spacecraft with the television camera. So far, that color television camera is not operating properly. They are following, however, the rest of the task set forth for them. At the present time, they should be moving over to the compartment, the outside compartment on the lunar module, the Intrepid, to unload the ALSEP package. That's the large package of experiments the two astronauts will set up on the lunar surface. But now let's get a full report on this from correspondent Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston.
The astronauts have now completed their inspection of the limb and connecting the lanyards. They have put an American flag on a staff. They've raised it out in front of the lunar module. They made a number of comments about how it is to walk around. They believe they're sinking into the surface about 1.5 to 2 inches, more than Neil Armstrong and Ed Aldrin did. And now they're about ready to go.
Into the timeline, and you're running about 6 minutes behind nominal.
About 6 minutes behind schedule.
We're monitoring implicit feed water 2 as a determining parameter.
They're getting ready to go to the experiments package.
Kind of gotten over the initial check out on how to walk and move around, and maybe we got we're having problems with this hardware like we did with the next
way. That was Al Bean reporting that. The TV camera is not working.
We're showing 2+30 left in the EVA.
Okay.
Yankee Clipper went overhead a moment ago and is taking pictures of the snowman. That small group of craters.
All right. Let's go.
6 minutes behind the timeline on the EVA. They're going to
offload the ALSEP package.
Getting ready to offload the ALSEP package.
Gotta be able to move out with this thing.
Dean says we ought to be able to move out with this thing.
Yep. The limb exterior looks beautiful the whole way around. Still good shape. Feel like it.
Them exterior looks good, just like the day we launched it. That comment.
Okay. There we go, Pete.
And I'll move around to
what? Oh, hot take over, babe. One ALSEP. It is.
It is. It's right.
They've gone around behind the limb to the quadrant where the ALSEP package is stowed, opening the door there, the great bay.
Okay.
Fairly good size. There's a hoist mechanism to help them bring the ALSEP down to the surface.
Here it comes.
It comes right out, they say.
Sliding out on a boom.
Roger, Pete. We copy.
They will lower this to the surface from the boom. And then carry it off. Before carrying all of this mechanism too far, they will, of course, have to stop and load the atomic generator, the nuclear generator. There is the radioactive heater element is stored in another spot. Communication's a bit scratchy. They are hearing the same static and whistle in their ear sets, we understand. I think he said out on the ground. The transmissions from the portable life support systems go back into the lunar module and are then sent by the unified S-band and the dish antenna on the limb back to Earth. Yankee Clipper overhead can monitor also through the intricate communications network procedure.
Omni Charlie.
An instruction to Yankee Clipper in orbit overhead to go to one of his Omni antennas. That static and whistle the astronauts on the surface of the moon can hear also. Astronauts Conrad and Bean are running about 6 minutes behind schedule in the activities planned for them on the lunar surface. Part of this time was used in trying to make the faulty color television camera work. It's not working at all now. We just have some blurs on the screen. As soon as this camera was picked up from the Mesa, it became inoperative. Al Bean, following instructions from the ground, tapped on it. When he hit his gloved hand on it a time or two, we could see some splashes of light on the set. But apparently something has either jammed inside, possibly the color wheel, or it may have been damaged from being pointed at the sun. This, of course, is undetermined. Here on the ground, here on Earth, many engineers are working on that problem right now. There was a comment from Conrad. Not too clear. Couldn't quite understand it. Yes. Something about the SEQ bay. Push the door. This is the scientific experiments area. They're working on putting the ALSEP package together so that they can carry it away from the limb. They must disconnect some lanyards and part of the mechanism which is used to bring the ALSEP package out, as I understand it, is used to help carry it. It becomes one of the bars, as a matter of fact, like a great barbell, attaches to some of the equipment in order to serve as a mechanism for lifting it and carrying it across the surface. Don Beatty, you've worked with this quite a bit. You want to help them describe what they're doing right now?
Well, I think that they're getting ready to fuel the RTG cask, which is a slightly tricky operation because they have to reach up, tilt the cask holder
over.
This is
the radioactive thermal generator. Yeah.
Right, the hot source. Tilt it over with a special tool and extract the nuclear cell.
That's affirmative.
Call
we
from Conrad.
We heard it now for about past 45 minutes.
Asking if we hear the noise.
That's right. What is, so have we. What is it?
They're asking what the noise is in the background.
We tried to isolate it, and it appears it's coming on the downlink where it's coming from the limb.